Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with couture wedding gown designer Matthew Christopher about bringing his work home to Iowa and making a splash on the red carpet and say yes to the dress. But we're going to start the hour with a different kind of fashion. Hooded sweatshirts. They're warm, cozy, and practical. In Iowa, teenagers of all backgrounds seem to live in them in the winter months. But for some people, the simple act of wearing a hooded sweatshirt can change how people behave around them. And it can even put their lives at risk. That risk, that prejudice, gave rise to the Humanize My Hoodie project. And with me now are collaborators Andre Wright and Jason Soule. Andre Wright is the founder and CEO of Born Leaders United, a clothing brand. He also works with Iowa City Area Development. Hello, Andre.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
And Jason Soule is also with us. He is Community First Public Safety Initiatives Director for the Mayor of St. Paul and an adjunct professor with Omelania University. He's also the author of the memoir Prison to PhD. Hello, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to start this conversation with the hoodie. It's a practical item of clothing for a lot of people. And I know that both of you have had experiences wearing hoodies that really drive home how it can change how people look at you, how they behave around you. Andre, do you want to start? I shared in the Billboard just a little bit of one of your stories about just throwing on a hoodie to go to the store.
Yeah. What's funny was the first time I actually wore the Humanize My Hoodie sweatshirt, I was in a store that I go to all the time, usually with slacks and probably some hard bottoms. And I had a bandana on and a hoodie, my Humanize My Hoodie, headed to a fashion show. So somewhat of a costume at the moment.
Sure.
And I bought some soup, paid for the soup. And as I was leaving, I had someone approach me and say, "Hey, did you pay for that soup? And if you didn't, let me see your receipt." And so that was very disturbing for me, very alarming for a place that I'm always in. I've never been approached by that. In fact, I speak to all the staff there, the guy at the door, the person at the register, the owners, and they all know
you.
They know me. And so in my mind, it made me upset because I could only imagine what other people were experiencing with wearing hoodies. And I blamed it on the hoodie just because of I had the hoodie kind of partially over my head, so they couldn't really see me from the back. You wouldn't know who I was. It was just this big guy who came in and stole some soup and left, you know. But that was my experience.
Although you had been through the register, so if somebody had an eye on you as well.
Yeah. Huh. Someone was watching me the whole time while I was in there, which was very strange.
And, okay, it felt strange for you. Jason, it doesn't feel strange for a lot of people. Tell me how you first started thinking about the hoodie, why it became so important to you.
Trayvon Martin. You know, I can't say it enough. When Trayvon was killed, the hoodie was a focal point of, you know, the conversation, and it sparked, you know, a movement across the country. But, you know, for me, I know what it's like when I travel, when I'm in the community, when I'm in areas that are not of my own. I know how I get treated. So, you know, I got on, you know, I'm dressed up today. I'm in the office. I know what kind of treatment I can expect from people. It's like people want to have casual conversation. Hey, what do you do? Are you a lawyer? Things like that. But when I have on a hoodie, you know, it's like people who know me don't even recognize me. Like Andre just alluded to in his story. And that differential treatment can be deadly. You know, so, you know, Andre and I, we're raising kids, and it's like I worry about my daughter when she begins to drive. She's only 11 now, but I mean in 5 years she'll be driving, and I don't want her clothing to become a focal point on whether she's a good person or a bad person. So for me, I wanted to start with my students at Hamline University and challenge them by wearing a hoodie the entire semester so that they can get a feel for who I am, so they can understand me as a person, understand that I have a family, understand that I mean something to my mom. I mean something to my family. And by doing that, I learned a lot from my students because they felt like clothing didn't determine how they treated someone. But over the course of a semester, they realized they do have biases that they didn't know about before. And we, you know, tend to, you know, call them implicit biases. So I wanted to do something because, you know, people see me with a hoodie on, they automatically feel that I'm a threat, and I'm not a threat to anybody. Unless you're trying to harm me, you good to go. You good to go. So, you know, I wanted to bring that to light because it could be deadly. You know, a kid 11 o'clock at night going somewhere or driving from a party. We've seen kids get stopped at prom and treated poorly because of the color of their skin. The hoodie amplifies the treatment, especially when they're in contact with an authority figure. So we wanted to do something that'd be meaningful. And Andre had the, you know, the knowledge of fashion to say, hey, let's get people to talk about it without even having to have the discussion with them. People can rehumanize my hoodie and feel something or think something. And we're actually accomplishing our goal and having people spur deeper conversations.
How did your conversation start? How did the idea for Humanize My Hoodie really get going? Andre, I mean, it started with one of Jason's Facebook posts, didn't it?
Yeah, so Jason made a post with his family, and I saw the post, and I was standing at the kitchen table with my wife, and I was like, hey, this is something. I got to help Jason out with this. Knowing Jason, I was thinking, like, he probably, like, made the post just because that's just what he was, you know, believing at the moment. But then I saw an opportunity for us to spur a conversation that could be global. And we could talk about how we can humanize a lot of things with starting with the hoodie. So based off that Facebook post, I decided to jump 10 toes in. I jumped 10 toes in. We launched it at Fashion Week in New York. I think it was September 9th, to be exact. And ever since then, it's just kind of it's just been taking off. It's just really resonating with the community and the people at large.
Well, and Jason, you know, you had been sharing this message, working hard to really change things for people in St. Paul, but people everywhere. What was your reaction when Andre reached out?
I didn't know. I mean... I didn't know anything about fashion. I mean, I always try to, you know, be fly in my casual dress. You know, every day I try and look good, as most of us do. But, I didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, I've seen him do fashion. I've seen him, you know, just being an amazing leader, you know, in that fashion industry. But I didn't know anything about it. So I was just really listening. And it made sense. You know, it was like, you know, he brought it to me, you know, in a way where I could understand, you know, or I could see the vision. So it was just a simple conversation. I know Dre, I know his heart. So for me, it wasn't like he had to convince me of anything. It's like some people, when they call you, it's like you put down what you're doing and just listen to what they have to say. And Andre's one of those people. So once he started, you know, giving me the vision for it, I'm like, let's do it. So I don't think we talked. I don't even think that was an hour conversation. It was just like, I think we should do it. And I was like, hey, let's put the right pieces in play and let's make it happen. And I'm glad we did it, man, because it's like, man, people all over are having these conversations. And my buddy James, he's 25, man. He had on a hoodie and went in a gas station. And he had his hoodie on when he walked in. And this was a Humanize My Hoodie sweatshirt. And when he came out, a white guy approached him and said, hey, I just need to apologize to you because I waited here because I saw you going there with your hoodie on. And I thought you were going to rob the place. And when you came out, I seen that it said Humanize My Hoodie, and I just need to say that I'm sorry. That led to a 30-minute conversation. They exchanged numbers, and I just couldn't believe it. So I think what we're doing, you know, is bigger than what we set out to do, and I'm just grateful that people are having these conversations because it could bring us closer together, and we need that, especially at a time like now.
Well, and Andre, lay out the vision for us, because we're talking about physical, actual hoodies here that you've designed. They say Humanize My Hoodie from Born Leaders United. And when you go shopping on Born Leaders United and you look for one of these hoodies, they're not just hoodies. They're hoodies with their arms up, which is a striking image. But it's not just the physical item of clothing. The vision's bigger than that. Lay it out for us.
Well, it was more like, again, it's about having that conversation. And sometimes people aren't able to actually say what they really want to say. And sometimes they do it in appearance. Like, they dress a certain way. Some people choose a red shirt because they felt very red that day, or they wanted to stop something. I mean, literally, or they wore a shirt that have certain words on it for a certain reason because they want to get a reaction. And the vision behind it was to do exactly what it's been doing, is to push the brand of the message of humanizing my hoodie to the masses. And what better way to do that is with an article of clothing. And so when we jumped in initially, we had a plan all laid out. We were going to talk to this person. We're going to get this person involved. We're going to do this many radio interviews. We're going to make the garment like this and that. And essentially that's what we've done. And in this amount of time, it's been surprising because we've probably been working on this project for the last seven months, I think. And the response has just been overwhelming, I think. And we plan to do more in the fall. Jason's idea was to have something where it can deal with he was going to do it on an academic level, where if people were like myself and himself were seen in these hoodies and were good statures of the community, right, and people see us with hoodies on, maybe that will reduce some of that threat perception. So it's kind of like a twofold, getting the community involved and then having the leaders in the community also support the project by wearing the hoodie, also by doing positive things in the community, so it can reduce some of that threat perception or the thought of someone being a threat by wearing a hoodie. So
who do you imagine wearing hoodies? Is this something, I don't know, as a white 40-year-old woman, would it feel like cultural appropriation for me to put on one of these hoodies? What do you think, Andre?
I think so. I it's surprising that I get that question a lot. But what's surprising is that there's people from all over, even in other countries, supporting it. What it is a conversation, right? As long as you have the backstory and you understand what's going on in the community and the country right now, and you see what's happening with other people, I think anybody can have that hoodie on and have those conversations and open the dialogue.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about the Humanize My Hoodie project, and I'm talking with collaborators Andre Wright. He's a fashion designer and founder and CEO of Born Leaders United. Jason Soul is also here, Community First Public Safety Initiatives Director for the Mayor of St. Paul. He's also an adjunct professor and the author of the memoir, Prison to PhD. We'll continue in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up a little bit later, I'll be talking with wedding gown designer Matthew Christopher, who grew up in Wellman, Iowa. Right now, we're talking about the Humanize My Hoodie project. And with me are collaborators Andre Wright and Jason Soul. Andre Wright is the founder and CEO of Born Leaders United, a clothing brand. He also works with Iowa City Area Development. Jason Soul is Community First Public Safety Initiatives Director for the Mayor of St. Paul and an adjunct professor. He's also the author of the memoir Prison to PhD. And Jason, I want to ask you, you have been through so much in your life. You have obviously been to prison. You have been able to pursue your education and pursue a life after prison. You've had to overcome so many stereotypes and you know, obviously, having had the background that you've had added challenges with trying to pursue a professional life, a professional career. Why, with all those challenges, why focus on the hoodie?
Because, you know, there are so many obstacles just from having, you know, black skin. I didn't understand that before I got the educational piece. I just felt things weren't right, you know, throughout life. I just felt something was up, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. By pursuing higher education, you know, the level of trauma I experienced growing up in Chicago was extreme, and I would see things around me I could never process. And my uncle went to prison at 12, and he was released when he was 18, and it screwed him up. It didn't give him a chance in life, and I was like, man, he was saying he was innocent, the community was saying he was innocent. I was like, wow, he did 6 years as an innocent kid, and now he can't figure his way out. He's in Cook County Jail right now. So for me, getting an education was just the formal piece because I knew people wouldn't give me a chance. So once I was able to get in the door, I said, you know what? I'm not going to take this opportunity lightly. I'm going to push the envelope. Because when we started the Humanize My Hoodie project, that was my first, like September, that was my first semester as an assistant professor at a new university. I've been teaching 9 years, and that was a risk. That was a risk. A lot of my colleagues didn't know me. They knew of my rapport. They knew of my research. They knew things like that. But it was a leap to wear a hoodie every day because, you know, higher education, you know, many people don't respect you if you're not, you know, in a, you know, a button-up shirt and slacks and carry a briefcase.
And you wore a hoodie to work every day for your first semester of teaching?
Every day. I mean, it was like people were sending me hoodies. People were, you know, giving me recommendations for hoodie colors. Like, would you wear a pink one? And with Andre, it was like he was just like, man, I'm going to make hoodies and I'm going to send them to you. So we had purple and gold. We had all these different colors. And we realized the colors matter. A black hoodie represented a higher risk of threat to people than if I had on a white hoodie or a yellow hoodie or a purple hoodie. So in doing this, we have so much research to like really go through, but it was like we gonna push the envelope with these hoodies and just see what kind of conversations come from this. And Andre's been receiving photographs from Asia and Australia, and it's just been amazing to see people actually push the conversation and say, you know, how are we perceiving people by their clothes? And we've had women say, I get treated a certain way if I have on a short skirt. I have Muslims that say, when I have on a hijab, people look at me as more threatening. So we've been able to really break open the conversation as far as how we see people. And, you know, if you look at research, Van Gogh says we treat people the way we see them. So we just want everybody to be humanized, man. We're trying to make sure everybody gets treated better. At the end of the day, that's what we're striving for.
Now, the focus of your education and the focus of your research has been public safety and criminal justice. Mm-hmm. Have there been conversations you've been able to have using the hoodie as a tool that you couldn't have before?
Absolutely, because, like, with me, I have to, you know, I don't want to always be the black guy talking about race. I don't want to, you know, walk in that space where every day I have to be the educator of race, especially to people with privilege who don't have to have those discussions. They can just go through life and not have to talk about race or talk about difference or talk about, you know, bias. You know, like society is structured that way. I mean, you think about what it means to be human. It's almost to the point where white and human are synonyms. And black and criminal are synonyms. So for me, just having on a hoodie, people see me in the airport and they just want to have a conversation. They say, humanize my hoodie, and you can see the wheels turning. So it has given me opportunity to have conversations in unconventional places. Now, at nighttime, I'm not really trying to talk to you about the hoodie. Like, if it's dark outside, like, no, I just don't trust that because, you know, even in presentation, I can have on a hoodie, and if I'm training with my white counterpart, if I had one of my white counterparts slap me in the middle of a presentation, I know that wouldn't happen. You know, I'm just giving you an example. If my white counterpart would slap me in front of an audience full of people, chances are when we go to court, my white counterpart will walk out of there without any kind of conviction. That's what we're pushing up against with the hoodies. We're trying to say my hoodie makes me seem more of a threat when in reality, I got feelings just like you. I got people I care about just like you. So the hoodie has given us opportunities to have conversations in places where we didn't even imagine. And I'm grateful for that.
You know, both of you have talked about consciously wearing a hoodie, which would not necessarily be a part or at least a very important part of your wardrobe, given your professional lives. And I am sure that there are people listening right now who think, well, how about just not wearing one? I mean, Jason, that for a lot of people, that doesn't feel like an option, does it?
No, I mean, you know, everybody don't have the means. You know, when you look at structural racism, you know, there, in order to have a top, you got to have a bottom. You know, it's just convenient to keep people of color at the bottom. I mean, I got the, you know, I'm in a place where I don't have to wear a hoodie, but I like being comfortable. Like, dressing up, man, it's not comfortable. And when you look at our life expectancy, it's like Andre and myself, we're going to pass away before our wives. Just because the stress, being a black man, like the opportunities, the way we got to fight every day, the way we got to defend ourselves every day from oppression, I'm going to die at least 10 years before my wife. Statistically, I'll die 10 years before her. Why can't I be comfortable in something that feels good to me? I'm relaxed in a hoodie and sweat. Like, that feels right. So I think I should have the opportunity to at least enjoy my shortened life in the way that I see fit. So I want to be able to wear hoodies, and I want it to become human, because I think I should be able to be relaxed. Just because I have on dress clothes, that doesn't mean I'm a good person. Some of the most wicked people on this earth wear some of the best suits. So I want to be able to talk about that at some point and say, you know, just because you carry a briefcase and you wear a nice tie and got the handkerchief to match, that doesn't mean you're a better person than me. So we want to push that conversation a little further, because it's been, you know, misconceptions around people who have on hoodies that they're lazy, that they don't care, that they, you know, it's more than just the threat. It's like you question my ambition when I have on a hoodie too. And we're trying to debunk all of those myths.
You know, it's funny. This is one of those moments in life for me where my privilege, the privilege of my family, kind of slaps me hard in the face. Because you think about us suburban moms, we throw on hoodies all the time. We've got our team colors and slogans. And I think about my 13-year-old daughter, and, you know, she lives in a hoodie. And you look at her, you look at all the kids at her school, they're all dressed the same. But when they leave the school, some of those kids are at risk because of what they're wearing. Andre, I mean, that's something you talk about with school groups, isn't it?
Yeah. I tell them, you know, in the classroom, you looked at one way amongst your peers, but, you know, once you walk in the streets and you wear that hoodie, people perceive you to be a different person. So always be on alert, you know. Be cautious of your surroundings and, you know, in the hoodie, be at your best behavior. I've been in, like, the public library. In fact, let me take this back. I'm going to take it back a second step. So I've talked to my dad, and he was a dispatcher at the police department in Waterloo. And the way that they described a person was a black man with cornrows and a hoodie. And so being able to hear that repeatedly, or just a person in a hoodie, there was a person in a black hoodie, and it immediately, what do you think of? A black person. And so just seeing that, that really made the project be even more important to me, especially me. I have a son who's 12, and he wears a hoodie every day too, right? And he could have been Trayvon Martin. He could have been the kid with the Skittles and the, you know, the drink. If there's no telling. So that's why this project is so important. We just got to constantly be aware, and we constantly got to push our message to the masses so people can understand what's going on in this country.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Right now we're talking about the Humanize My Hoodie project. And with me are collaborators Andre Wright and Jason Soule. Andre Wright is the founder and CEO of Born Leaders United. He is a fashion designer. And Jason Soule is Community First Public Safety Initiatives Director for the Mayor of St. Paul. He's also an assistant professor, and he's the author of the memoir Prison to PhD. And we're not going to go to a call right now, but I do want to relay a comment from someone who's on the line. And his comment is, according to his experience, he says, black people have a different body language. The hoodie is an abstraction, but people are really thinking about body language. African Americans have a culture of aggressiveness. And now, Jason, I'm sure that that's a kind of comment that you've heard quite a lot. How do you respond to that?
It's not true. It's a false narrative. When you think about the people who put people in slavery, they don't look like me. When you think about the people who kill police officers, they don't look like me. So that's a narrative that's been pushed, but it's not true at all. Like, when you look at the people who've created the most harm and subjugation in America, they don't look like me. So I understand how people got this concept of black-on-black crime, and that's even a notion rooted in white supremacy, because it's like there's no such thing as black-on-black crime. I mean, people harm people next to them. Crime is intraracial, where 3 out of 4 people harm someone that look like them. So him saying my body language is somehow making my behavior, like making people treat me a certain way, it's just not true at all. My swag is different. Now, I'm not going to try and walk like a white guy or emulate the behaviors of a white guy. I am who I am. I posture how I posture. I move how I move. That's just how I was made genetically. But I'm not going to, you know, believe that narrative where black people are more dangerous. Because if you were to analyze black-on-black crime, you will realize it's a poverty issue. Because I don't see middle-class black people harming each other. I don't see upper-class black people harming each other. So I understand he might have an issue with it, but I was born, you know, with skills and talents that make me move a certain way. I'm athletic. You know, Andre's athletic, so we move like athletes, and we might not look like we belong in certain places, but we do. So I think that's just more of, you know, how he feels as a person and what he has in terms of his insecurities. Somebody made a comment at an award show maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago, you know, saying, don't call, you know, police, you know, on black people because of your insecurities. Call them for emergencies. And I would ask him to do the same. Like, don't look at me, excuse me, as a threat. Have a conversation with me and let's talk about your insecurity. But just because you see me in a hoodie, that doesn't mean I'm more of a threat or I'm posturing for something.
I want to ask you, Andre, and I know you've both lived in Iowa, and of course you're up in Minnesota, Jason, right now. So you're both living in states that are not as diverse as many other places in the United States. Andre, how does that, do you think, influence you as a black man or influence other African Americans in Iowa as they move through the world in this state where the majority of people are white?
I think if you look at Iowa, it's kind of a depiction of the world already that we live in is, you know, right now, you know, even looking at our presidency, right? We had a black president, but now we have a white president. I feel like we need some more spaces in Iowa for black people to even have these conversations or talk about, you know, the situations that we're in. I agree with Jason as far as when he's talking about the poverty level, like we don't have the economic engines to really push our communities the way we need to be pushing them, especially in Iowa. I mean, if we were to count on our fingertips how many black businesses there are, we probably couldn't even get to 10, right? And so if it is a black business, it's either a barbershop or it's a soul food restaurant. But that's not, you know, that shouldn't be our story. It's because we're brilliant people, but we don't have these opportunities because of our surroundings. Right. And I can't blame it just on the surroundings. But sometimes our environment makes us who we are. And because of our environments being the way they set up, the way they are, it makes it harder for a lot of us to get into positions where we need to get in to make things great. So it's been difficult, but I'm a resilient person. Just looking at the outcome of my life and having to raise a family, and you know, if I could multiply myself a million times, things would be a lot different. But I can't. I can only be an example for others and say, hey, look, this is an opportunity for you to do what you are passionate in, that sort of thing. So.
Jason, I know you're working very hard to make life better in St. Paul and in other places around the country. With young people right now, what is your focus? What do you feel you can have the greatest impact doing?
Kind of like what Andre spoke about, teaching them to be resilient, teaching them to take the things that are thrown at them and still striving. You know, we get a lot of noise. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, with social media, with things in society, there's a lot of noise and things that distract us from our path. So for me, I'm always teaching young people to stay focused because I could have perished at a young age. You know, I was shot. You know, I was living in Iowa for a number of years. That's where I met Andre. And it was like I could have let a lot of those things just completely derail me. And it was like I had to figure out ways to actually, you know, emerge from that. And it was difficult, but I'm glad to be that sacrifice so that I can give back in such an authentic way. But when I lived in Iowa, you know, I was 16 to 17 years old, my junior and senior year. And being a basketball player on what was the blackest team in the state, I mean, playing for Waterloo East, we had the blackest team in the state. When I would go to, like, Dubuque, Iowa, and different places, man, I would just be like, and I don't want to just pick on Dubuque, so let's be clear, everywhere I went in Iowa, I mean, even Davenport, Iowa City, wherever I went, you could have this feeling where it was like, this is more than basketball. You cheering against me in a way that almost feels hateful. Like, so it's like for us, we have to have these conversations and push this further because young people are struggling with this right now. You know,
and
like, it would be
unfortunately, Jason, we're out of time for this conversation
today.
But we hope that we can continue it, and we look for great things from the Humanize My Hoodie Project. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.